This is an ABC podcast.
ABC AFL Daily with Poppy Penny and Paul Roos.
Here it is!
Hello and welcome to the ABC AFL Daily podcast. My name is Poppy Penny and with me, as always, every Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday is Hall of Famer and seven-time All-Australian Paul Roos. Roosie, hello.
Hello, Poppy. How are you?
Very good. Looking forward to, I think, like every footy fan, tonight's game of footy, because there is something super fun about a grudge match, and this has been built up and built up as the grudge match between Bailey Smith and his former team, the Western Bulldogs. There's been all sorts of mind games going on with Chris Scott. He's had Bailey Smith training indoors. We've barely seen him this week. How are you feeling about tonight's game? It's going to be, I think, a really, really good game of footy.
Yeah, well, 7v5, so take out the Bailey Smith for the moment. We'll touch on that shortly. But, yeah, look, it's a good game because of the two teams that are involved. You know, the Bulldogs, really good form. The way they move the ball, flip the ball around, you know, they bring their teammates into the game better than anyone, and hence Bailey Dale has 49 possessions, which is unusual for a halfback, unusual for anyone. But I think that's indicative of the way they play. They're a really selfless team and they really make sure they bring their teammates, give it to someone in a better position all the time. Their quick hands are elite against a team that's probably less helter-skelter. If you talked about the way the games are played at the moment, Geelong are probably the most composed team in the competition, apart from the grand finalists of last year. They tend to weather the storm better than anyone. They weather these runs. Instead of seven goals against, they tend to be 2 and 3. And we know momentum, Poppy, is so important. So it's a little bit of a clash of different styles. And it's funny, when you go to pick a game when Geelong's playing, you sort of go, oh, no, Bulldogs will win. And then you go, oh, hang on, they're playing Geelong. And then you tend to dissect the game so much more. Tom Stewart back in, Paddy Dangerfield out, Bowes out. So you actually, and I think that's a credit to Scotty and you know, the players of the Geelong Footy Club, because they even get the tipsters thinking.
Yeah, and in any other team, if somebody like Patrick Dangerfield comes out, you're immediately going, oh, well, we won't be looking at them this weekend. Go for the Dogs for sure. But I think you're right, the sort of depth that they've got. As you said, Tom Stewart comes back in, Reece Stanley comes back in, and Ted Closey comes back into the side. Dangerfield out, Jack Bowes, and Connor O'Sullivan is the other one who comes out of that side. The Dogs have made just one change, and it's a forced change because Artie Jones has a hammy and Oscar Baker comes in. After the Dogs' performance last week, you wouldn't be making too many changes to that team. They were brilliant against the Bombers. What advice would you give Bailey Smith, because that is the big factor? I know we've talked about it a lot this week and we know it's going to be a good game of footy, that aside, but what advice would you give to Bailey Smith today ahead of this game?
Well, having never met him and never coached him, I mean, some players are uncoachable. I'm not suggesting this is Bailey Smith, but this is the challenge for Chris Scott. You know, is it worth talking to him? Is he coachable? You know, is he going to listen? And they're the things that's probably going through the coach's mind, you know, based on some of the things we've seen this year. But the advice is clear. Just play the game. Don't get caught up in anything. You're a terrific player. You're having a terrific season. Focus. Your teammates will help you out. You're playing at home, which is good. You know, look, like playing at home makes a big difference, because I'd imagine there won't be as many Dogs supporters down there as what there would have been at Marvel Stadium or the MCG. So it's pretty simple. Just focus, play the game, don't get distracted. But I'll be really, really interested if he's capable of doing that. Because what we will see from the Bulldogs players will give us an insight into Bailey Smith. Are they leaving alone? Are they roughing him up? Are they back-chatting him? Because they'll know him like a, you know, a broken record. You know, like, they will know him really, really well. So I'll be interested to see what they're doing. If they're not talking, then it's a sign of he plays better when we're ribbing him. If they are, then they'll be thinking we can get him off his game. But the message from Scotty to Bailey will be, mate, you're in great form. You're an important player for us. Just play footy. Don't flip the bird. Don't do anything dumb. And let's get through this with a win.
Yeah, all eyes, I think, will be on the first sort of couple of minutes to see how the Dogs players interact with their former star. Roosie, everyone's looking forward to that game this weekend, but I want to know, what game are you specifically going to be sitting down and watching? What game are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm going to marry up my team of the week with the game of the week. So the Melbourne Footy Club, anytime you beat the Premiers, it's a great effort. But they demolished them in the last quarter. And for a team that's still sort of struggling for their identity, it was a really important win. Brisbane's another story. They were deplorable in the last quarter. But let's give the credit to Melbourne. Melbourne played really, really well. Petrarca back into form. Clayton Oliver, you know, a pseudo run with, which I like because, you know, he's the ability to, yeah, but he's never going to limit a Lachie Neale to 15 possessions. But I thought that was a win as well. Max Gawn is in career best form. So I think they're the team of the week, which leads me to the game of the week, Poppy. And I'm looking at it from the point of view, and we'll go into your game of the week because it's hard to top your one, but I'm just looking at it from the point of view of now losses to those teams 12th, 14th become multiplied really because they don't have the wiggle room. So I'll be really interested after Sydney had a really big win over Carlton, Melbourne had a really big win over Brisbane Lions. This is a really pivotal game because I would say most pundits had either one of these teams in the top eight, probably not both, but either one of these teams in the top eight. So I think for that reason, and there's still question marks certainly on both of the clubs. Obviously, Sydney look like they're going to get Callum Mills back. Papley's still out. They've got a couple of guys that did undisciplined things. And then Melbourne are starting to get a bit of a roll on. So for that reason, I think this for me is the game of the round. But marginally ahead of your game on the round, which is?
Well, my game of the round is Hawks v Brisbane, but I will point out that your game is the Paul Roos Coaching Cup, and I like that you've chosen it as your game of the round this week. But Hawks-Brisbane for me, I cannot wait for this game. I am actually going to be part of broadcasting it for the ABC this weekend, sitting on the boundary, and I am dying to see these two teams go up against each other. It's fourth versus second. We love top four clashes. And it feels like it's a really big test at a really pivotal time for both teams. Brisbane have had a poor couple of weeks by their standards and will want to respond massively at the MCG, where they obviously won that flag last year. On the flip side, the Hawks have gone up to Darwin and got beaten by the Gold Coast, but no one beats the Gold Coast in Darwin. But before that, they'd beaten the D's, the Tigers and the Eagles. That were their three wins before that loss. So, yes, you can only beat who you're fixtured to play, and we know that, but it feels like this test has come at the right time for both of these teams, and I think it'll tell us a lot about Hawthorn and Brisbane this weekend.
They both don't look like 7-3 and 7-2 in a draw teams, do they? They just don't look like that at the moment. And that's probably the thing that where I tend to agree with you, Poppy, that adds a bit of spice to a second V4. Because normally second V4, you're sort of going, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to play finals, which I think they both will. But, you know, North Melbourne draw and a Melbourne loss at home for the Lions. And you mentioned you went through the wins for the Hawks and then, yeah, it wasn't a bad loss, as you said, but they just... They don't have the feel of a 7-3 and a 7-2, you know, 2.5 team, do they? And I think for that reason, it's a really interesting game.
The other one that caught my attention for this weekend, and we kind of talked about this off air, that Carlton always seemed to be in a sort of almost game of the round every single week because everything feels pivotal and magnified for the Blues. But they take on the Giants this weekend at Docklands. I know that we're going into round 11 and I'm probably pie in the sky here, but it feels like Carlton need to win this, especially because if they lose, they're 4-7. And that just feels like such a bigger gap to close to make the finals. 4-7 feels so much bigger than the alternative. So does that conversation happen behind closed doors? Would Vossie be going, hey, if we're playing finals, this is pivotal? Or is every game just a game and it wouldn't be using that as additional motivation?
Probably not. I mean, let's dissect these two teams and looking at. So in the last, if you've got 1-3, Carlton in the last 3 weeks, and 1-4. So they've won two games and lost six. I mean, their form is horrendous, both these teams. So that's the concern. And again, both of these teams, like Giants, most people had Giants top four. Some had them winning the premiership. Most people had Carlton top eight, some top four. So we're talking about two teams that are on the cusp of missing the eight, that a lot of people were thinking premiers top four, definitely top eight. So you're right, 4-6 overall for Carlton and 5-5 for the Giants. Two teams that are incredibly talented that are horribly out of form. So both these coaches, and when you're in this situation, Poppy, it's very rare that you just flip the switch. And I remember, you know, if we were going through a run of outs, and I'd probably compare them more to Sydney than Melbourne, because Melbourne, we were a growing team. We were more like a, you know, a North at some point. But at Sydney, we're always sort of trying to contend for top eight. If you're in a bad run of form, you know, you were just looking for grafting a win and just hanging in there and really focusing more on defensive actions and not getting quick scores against you, and then gradually grinding the game away. And then hopefully the last 10 minutes, you know, you kick two or three goals and you win by 20 points. I think that's really what both coaches would be looking for. Not necessarily saying that to the players, but in match committee and behind closed doors, guys, you know, let's really focus on contested ball. Let's really make sure we get our defensive structures in place really, really quickly, defensive spread, because they do have the talent. Both teams have the talent to score. So this is a mindset game for me, not a talent game.
Well, both teams have got Coleman medalists on their list, so it is amazing to see that they're struggling in that sort of scoring department. The thing with Carlton, though, for me, is that if they win this, they've got the bye, and then their next three matches are Essendon, the Eagles and North Melbourne. So if they can take a little bit of momentum into the bye, they actually set themselves up, and there's a potential in a month we're having a really different conversation about Carlton.
Well, we've already done that so far with Melbourne, with Carlton. Yeah, probably the flip side, you know, Hawthorn was on fire, Brisbane's on fire, we're now sort of saying. So I think what we know in the season, if you can get on a run of two or three wins, the teams above you are likely going to be 2-1, 1-2, 0-3 maybe. So you can make up some ground, and I think that's the message. And again, I know it's the old sort of cliche for coaches, but more so than any time that I can think of in footy history, it really is 1 week at a time, because things can change dramatically either way. And I think this is where the draw gets frustrating, and we'll talk about it more and more. You know, with all due respect to West Coast and perhaps North and Richmond, yeah, you play them twice instead of playing a Brisbane twice or a Collingwood twice, or, you know, even Gold Coast now twice, one away, one at home. So the draw is becoming significant, and you mentioned those three teams. Now, that's not to dismiss the ability of any of those teams to win, because we're seeing North, an uplift in North's performance. We're seeing the Eagles definitely play better the last couple of weeks. And Richmond's been better than anyone thought in the first three rounds. But, yeah, the draw is becoming a really big factor.
That leads me perfectly into what I want to ask you next. And that is that Richmond are coming off a five-day break to play tomorrow night in the Dreamtime match. What does that do? This is their second five-day break of the season, by the way. What does that do for their preparation? Does it change the week dramatically?
Yeah, dramatically. Yeah, absolutely. You know, 5 day versus 7 day really means you're not training. You know, your training session is a 30-minute touch session, really. You're not really able to do a lot of game planning stuff. You're really just trying to get your players up to the game. But my question is, how can you have 2 5-day breaks in the first 11 weeks of the season?
I mean, being a marquee team, they play in all these Thursday, Friday night matches. And then I guess on the flip side of that, they are also a team who was rebuilding, so they get a lot of those Sunday afternoon time slots, which as a West Australian we are very used to. The Eagles and the Dockers get the Sunday graveyard shift quite often. So it ends up just being that they played on Sunday last week and, oh, now they've got to play on Friday this week. So it just does seem, it seems like something that maybe as a fan you go, oh, I was off a five-day break, it doesn't matter as much. But it is interesting to know that it changes what you do in the week.
Look, we played state games without sounding like an old bloke. I remember playing a Sunday, a Tuesday and a Saturday. So we had a Sunday game when I was playing at Fitzroy against Sydney, you know, when they used to play on the Sundays. And then we had a Tuesday night State of Origin game. So I played Sunday, Tuesday and then Saturday. So it's not insurmountable. And went to work. Went to work Monday, Tuesday. Sorry, I probably took Tuesday off and flew over there. So, look, it's not insurmountable. But for a young team, it's probably harder. Because a young team still is trying to understand, you know, the demands of the game, how to recover. They're probably hurting a lot more than, you know, a young player is going to be hurting a lot more than Vlosten, you know, Lynch or whoever it might be, because they're used to the rigors of AFL football. So, yes, it does matter. There's no question. It matters to your preparation. Doesn't mean you won't win. No. No, it doesn't. But again, this gets back to this conversation about equity and draw and drafting and, you know, scholarships academy programs and father sons and all those sorts of things. We know unequivocally that it's not an even competition. So we've just, the sooner we come to terms with that, the better. And Richmond are hard done by. We just got to understand Richmond are hard done by, and they have to play on a 5-day break. Bad luck.
And we hope that we don't see injuries and that sort of thing as a result of it, because as you say, they're young guys. They are going to be a little bit more tired. They're going to get fatigued easier. And you've spoken this year about the fact that when you're a younger team, even a full game of footy, you start to see it in the last quarter, in the last 10, 15 minutes of the last quarter, and you see results sort of blow out as a result. Rosie, before we go today, I want to ask you one final question. John Longmire said last night on Fox that he expects Brendan Gale from the Tasmania Devils to give him a call about being involved in that club. Are you expecting a call, and is there a role in that club that would pique your interest? Could you be lured to Tasmania, Rosie?
Well, if there's a recruiting role in Waikiki, absolutely. I'm happy to be their international recruiter and head to Stanford and where else could I go? Notre Dame, and scouting some of these great athletes in America sort of thing. So, yeah, look, I mean, will John Longmire get a call? Absolutely. And he'll get calls from other clubs as well. You know, let's be frank, it's probably unusual to have, two premiership coaches in John Longmire and Adam Simpson, and Ken Hinckley, who's coached for 14 years. So you've got three coaches, and then you've got Nathan Buckley, who we spoke about. This is the thing that's in their favour. What we are seeing now, it's such a big jump for assistant coaches. So do you want to take a punt on assistant coaches? And I'm not suggesting you don't, because Craig McRae is now premiership coach. But it's just a bigger punt because you don't have the body of work that you do. You can ring anyone West Coast, anyone at Port, anyone at Sydney, and anyone at Collingwood and find out about how they actually coached. You can't do that with the next level down of AFL assistant coaches. So there's just more surety around what you're going to get with those four coaches. They'll all get a phone call. They'll all get an interview if they want. Now, here's a question. I'm going to ask you a question. If all four put their hand up, who do you go for?
I'd probably go with Longmire based on body of work. He's been in the system for a really long time. I feel like he's done amazing work with the Swans, with fluctuating form, and you'll need that, I suppose, with a team that may not win heaps of games in their early seasons, but he's also got great form of taking a team to the top. So I'd probably go with Longmire, and I think a close second would be Nathan Buckley.
Oh, you've got him ahead of Simpson as a premiership. Interesting. So what do you got? Let's go to your top four. You got Longmire, Buckley. I'm going to put you on the spot. This is great. Being the host of the podcast now. So you're going Longmire one, Buckley two. Who's three?
Simo be three. I just think Simo wouldn't want to move. I think that leaving WA for Tasmania is too big of a jump, but coming from Victoria to Tasmania would be less of a life disruptor. This is more realistic as opposed to who. I probably would pick Simo over Bucks, but realistically, I don't think it would work. Right. And then I think Ken comes in at four, but it's a tight run thing. You know, there's a head bob in it at this point.
Ah, I like it. I like it.
I don't like being put on the spot like that. That was questions without notice, Rosie.
There you go. We'll be more of that in the back end of the season. I like that.
I'm going to have to stay on my toes for the rest of the season. Rosie, we've got a massive round of football. I'm going to strap in for pretty much all of them, I think, this weekend. It's going to be an absolute ripper. Thank you so much for your time. You'll be back on Monday with Corbin and Ben. Enjoy the footy.
Thanks, Poppy. Good on you.